What's going on, y'all? This is Cat Magnus Propagandist. Today is Saturday, October 10th, 2020, and this is the Awakened Demagogue Podcast. You know, what I've been doing recently to just kind of clear my mind and attune with things that brought my mother and I together in her last decade or so of life. Based on sci-fi, namely the Stargate series. I will still rewatch that entire thing from Stargate SG-1 and the Stargate universe over and over again. And then, you know, recently I've also been watching Ancient Aliens and it playing in the background, or just like really, you know, if it's a really interesting episode, I will stop everything and kind of give it a look. And first of all, I think that Stargate universe and a lot of just the Stargate series itself is straight out of ancient astronaut theory. But, you know, something interesting really came up. A little motif in Ancient Aliens. And it, you know, pertains to my area of expertise in international relations. And it's basically the implication that governments worldwide do have current and ongoing relations with extraterrestrial races, and that in one way or another or all, humanity is impacted by these relations. There was one episode in season 10 that implied that some extraterrestrial beings are keeping certain areas such as the Middle East and Central America in conflict to prevent further discovery of their existence. So they have chaos and discord and violence in those areas, based on maybe brain wave signals sent out from the ETs to incite violence in those areas. But what came up recently, today actually, in some of these episodes, I think it's season 12 or 13, toward the end of 12, I think, and they are focusing on actual, like, government conspiracies, secret government programs, military programs, the low-key disclosure of, for example, the release of millions of documents by the CIA, some years ago, major articles being found over from 2014, and how that all came together, and the whole thing about, you know, Podesta advising the Obama administration and the preparation for the big disclosure event that did not happen because Trump took office. Trump did have his own minor disclosure. The military did. It was actually earlier this year, in about April, the military released some more classified documents. I'm sure most of you guys saw the headlines, but nobody really got excited about it because it's in the midst of COVID. I think one of the best strategies, if government fears, you know, blowback as far as disclosure, you know, don't do it while people are already in survival mode, right? People are more worried about their bills or keeping their families together or surviving COVID. No one cares about a formal disclosure of extraterrestrial beings unless you say that we're being boarded. To say that they're already here and they've been here for thousands of years and you know, leave us the hell alone with the disclosure stuff, you can easily end that with, now we can focus on more important things like battling COVID. And the people who were stuck, who want the disclosure, you know, they get their satisfaction. And in this election year is a perfect time. I mean, it's easy to just change the spin cycle after the disclosure, to be honest, because everyone's in survival mode already, worried about, you know, the next meal. So who the heck is really going to stay that stuck on figuring out who these ETs are, where, or why, except people that are already excited about it, and the spiritual occult and UFO communities. But for me, what's interesting is that I just googled extraterrestrials in foreign policy, and in an industry specific magazine called entitled Foreign Policy. It's one of the main or premier magazines in the international relations community. There was an article about an Iranian news site called, I have it over here, what's it called? Called What Does It Mean? They have an article from January 2014, that's entitled Snowden Documents Providing U.S. Alien Hitler Link Stuns Russia, and basically the foreign policy article was trying, basically it took this content, tried to discredit the site What Does It Mean. It kind of, when you go to the homepage, it looks like if you visit the Drudge Report. So, you know, they just basically say all they're conspiracy theorists and it's nonsense. But this is an example of how divided the Iranian government was. That was the, like, final line or the point. But, you know, I think, you know, there are really some high-level people that write for these publications, Foreign Policy and Foreign Affairs. So it could easily have been a soft admission of truth with spin to discredit the source so that nobody tries to take it and run with it, right? But in the foreign policy article, it said that the What Does It Mean article, the source, basically said that these extraterrestrial beings known as the Tollawites, and if you're in the spiritual community, New Age, hardcore occult community, Western mysticism, where we study basically we start with, you know, Western mysticism and things of like from Freemasonry and Hermeticism, and then if you really do travel the path and stick with it, you end up studying Hinduism, which is the oldest religion on earth. For all of those in those communities, you know, gosh, I lost my train of thought. I hate when that happens. Because it was a connection. The tall whites. For all of us in these communities, we know about these tall white beings. They're typically described as having blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, that comes up a lot when we talk about Hitler and his fascination with occultism that altered his consciousness to want to reestablish the Aryan race and, you know, the supreme race. And basically pure blonde hair, blue eyed people. You know, I was watching Aquaman last night and the Atlanteans, which, if you are, like I said, in this kind of esoteric community, you know about the Atlanteans and the Lemurians being presumed to be tall, extremely tall giants with blonde hair and blue eyes. So these tall whites that are mentioned as being the advising extraterrestrial race that is in cahoots not only with Russia but also the United States, they will not share advanced, you know, the foreign policy article pointed out that advanced race and others refuse to share their advanced technologies with humanity or humankind until we make peace with one another, basically until we stop trying to blow each other up with primitive and lower level weaponry and actually elevate our consciousness and become a peace loving race, and that they can trust that we will be responsible in using these advanced technologies for our own good. That is actually a theme that came up over and over and over throughout the Stargate series, the Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, and Stargate Universe. Whether it was SG-1 exploring and finding more advanced races where, you know, the military had the objective, and this is, I'm talking about the Stargate series, the military had the objective for the Stargate program to send teams out to these other planets to recover any weapons technology or technology that can be used as weapons to bring, you know, recover for military purposes. That was their number one objective. Of course, they had, you know, Dr. Jackson and others on board, so we ended up actually having diplomatic relations with extraterrestrial races and beings from other planets. But that was also a theme that came up in Stargate Atlantis. That was not the prime objective. The prime objective was to, you know, they saw themselves as, you know, the descendants of the ancients, and that their discovery of the Atlantis base in the Pegasus Galaxy it was like divine alignment of some sort. And that expedition team was meant to man, reinvigorate, and basically protect the Atlantis base as the descendants of the agents, genetically or whatever. You know, it was meant for them to be there. So that's what it was. We manned that base and then explored the Pegasus galaxy and, you know, fought the Wraith and replicators and things like that in Stargate Universe. But of course, like I said, in Stargate Atlantis, of course, as they discovered other beings and races in the Pegasus galaxy, more advanced civilizations, they too encountered the, you know, Atlantis people from Earth. It still encountered that block that from more advanced civilizations that they will not share technology as long as they see a warlike and primitive consciousness coming from humanity. In Stargate Universe, it was about this advanced ship that was so old, but still built by the ancients and still conscious and self-aware and able to attune to the consciousness of the people on board. Though it was not so much about discovering new civilizations, but being the race to create new civilizations, the ship itself had a level of consciousness that would block out people who were not worthy, who could not figure out the codes. Because to have that level of, you know, access to advanced technology, being a warlike and primitive people, the ship itself would not, I guess, be open to cooperating with the intentions of the people. So, when we look at this in real life, if the United States and or Russia have relations with these tall whites, some in the New Age community call them Telosians, people from Telos. Many of them are acknowledged as people who live within Mount Shasta or within the inner earth and the hollow earth theory, you know, all of that. They live in the deep, deep caves and whatnot. If our current governments, and it's interesting because we have this dichotomy, we have this face-off between the United States and Russia, and if they're both in league with the same, you know, tall whites, why is it so hard to get to a place of peace? Earthly world governments really believe that their contentions and competitions with one another are that much more important than gaining access to advanced technology that can unlock unlimited energy and God knows what else, you know? And then, I mean, are we really that primitive? And, you know, I don't doubt it, but are we really that primitive as a conscious race where our billionaires and our government officials and all that are so hell-bent on clinching to whatever profits they may or may not think they would make, doing things the old way that, you know, damn climate change and what the masses are clamoring for, right? Like, you have access to extraterrestrial beings or advanced civilizations, and they are guiding us or want to share higher technology to help us advance. But they say you guys are too primitive. Why does it make sense for anyone, whether it's the financial and philanthropic elite, the private sector, or the public sector in governments? Why? Like, is it this the ego thing where they say, well, our scientists will make these discoveries at some point anyway, so we're going to do what the fuck we want to do? Like, if you have access to God knows what level of technology, I mean, Tesla level information. And the thing is, like, Nikola Tesla, you know, everyone knows about his story where he basically came up with who knows what kind of, you know, technology and ways to harness energy that we still refuse to acknowledge as legitimate, because if we did, then we would be using them now currently in our everyday lives. Like, Like, is the human ego, like, that far gone to where we would, where people with a lot of money or power or both would actually hinder the progress of humanity as a whole for the opportunity to say that they did it themselves or some shit? Like, it doesn't make sense. And if it's that obvious, as what it says in this What Does It Mean article, that governments worldwide are even in league with the same extraterrestrial beings or others, you know, and all they got to do is, you know, stop blowing each other up, you know what I mean? And we can, you will help you guys, you know, save yourselves from your own destruction to a point. And everyone just says, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna keep trying to bomb these guys. Nah, I'm good. I'm gonna keep, you know, undermining democracy with social media campaigns and misinformation campaigns. Nah, I'm still gonna be on the warpath because damn human progress. And it's like, it's, if you're a country in league with one, like, it's in your best interest for multiple reasons to say, you know, let me stop my shit because I can come out as the country that unlocked unlimited energy, that saved humanity. I can become a god in my own right by being the governor or the president or, you know, whoever that allowed this new technology to come to the fore to be used for humanity's own good. But the thing is, like, technology, magic, which is really just, you know, sacred science, chemistry and physics, energy manipulation, you know, all these things themselves are neutral. It's the intent of the person who, you know, puts these things to use that makes it good or bad, you know. Lots of, you know, the internet, it was great, but it has now become a tool of warfare, basically. You know, cyber attacks, misinformation, you know, undermining democracy, again, as I stated before. You know, the internet itself is just a tool, but it's, you know, who is using it and how and for what purpose, right? That makes a difference. But it doesn't make sense, you know. And the thing is, if we have maybe 10, you know, there in Ancient Aliens, there was an episode that former astronauts and ancient astronaut theorists have, you know, concurred that there are at least 2 to 12 extraterrestrial civilizations involved in humanity's day-to-day life. Whether it's in, you know, cahoots with governments, more than likely so. Or they're just, you know, still guiding and or protecting some, you know, tribes in various countries and in remote parts of the world. I mean, that's just like, and I guess maybe that's the point, you know, with Ancient Aliens. They put out so many perspectives and theories and what ifs that it just doesn't really make sense. But at the end of the day, we need to accept that we are not alone. Not just in the universe, but right here, you know, on planet Earth. I just don't get it. Like, if you are that close, like, do we really, I mean, it's possible that we have, you know, government egos that believe that, you know, we don't have to cooperate because our own scientists will discover whatever it is that, you know, these ETs have to offer, or, you know, we're just making nice, but you guys really don't have that much to offer. And then there's the other part where there may be some extraterrestrial races or beings that see us as threats because we, you know, are a warlike species that has access to nuclear weapons that can destroy, you know, any and all of them. You know what I mean? No matter how advanced they are. But I just, boggles my mind. And then it's interesting because one company that came up or was mentioned in the episode of Ancient Aliens was Bigelow Aerospace. And I went to their website just trying to see if they had maybe any kind of like UFO disclosure lobbying gigs or something, because their CEO is, you know, he basically said on 60 Minutes there are extraterrestrial races here on Earth that, you know, they're right under our noses. And I was reading about the Genesis Project, and the website says that they didn't launch, it's a life support, it's a habitat technology. They're trying to see if it's viable, and, you know, it's a space technology, basically, that's being tested to see if it can support human life artificially in space or on other planets. And the first craft was launched in July of 2006 from Kosmotrov's Space and Missile Complex near Yasny, Russia. And the reason, now this is an American company, and the reason that it was not launched in America was because so-called, quote-unquote, it cost too much to do so. Yet, you know, it brings me back to this article that I just read. Like, they have the tall whites, we have extraterrestrial beings that are, like, legit in league with the U.S. and Russia. Bigelow Aerospace, at least according to Ancient Aliens, was a former and or current government contractor with the U.S. government, specifically working on UFO and ET queries. So, I mean, this kind of synchronicity, you know, not there are no accidents or coincidences, like, for a private company to be playing both sides of the field. And then we got, you know, an extraterrestrial race that's allegedly playing both sides of the field. And yet, both sides of the field, at least in the public eye, refuse to come to some sort of alignment. You know, and then, you know, there's the reality that, you know, because we are in league, each company in league with some extraterrestrial race, that they think they are the top dog. It may really just embolden these countries. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, it may not work towards peace, because they say, well, we got these guys on our side, so we're going to do what the hell we want to do, and we're going to be the peacemakers. And, you know, so there's the ego thing again, you know, the trying to be the savior of humanity by forcing their agenda because they have whatever ET races on their side, and so maybe they think they're better. You know, it makes me think about Hitler and, you know, his old fascination with the Aryan race, and I'll do that one in the next segment. I'll contemplate that in the next segment. But for right now, where we are, there's definitely, you know, I don't doubt that there are extraterrestrial races in league with world governments pushing whatever agenda. It makes me wonder, you know, what kind of a plant Donald Trump really was. You know, or if he, you know, like, because, you know, there was also an episode of Ancient Aliens that talked about, you know, basically as Manly P. Hall put it in his book, The Secret Destiny of America, and that the way America, as tragic and sadistic and genocidal as the founding of America was, and violent and degenerate as the founding of America was, it is still, you know, as the Great Seal of the United States illustrates, you know, protected, you know, by the eye of providence. There's some divine or extraterrestrial influence that is ensuring the success of America and its principles. Although many of the principles came from Native American tribes, such as the Iroquois. And then it just makes it that much more complicated, but Native American, you know, indigenous tribes all have legends. All of our traditions link us back to ETs. Most, if not all, indigenous traditions link humanity back to ETs, whether it's, you know, the Maya, the Inca, my own tribe, the Ramapo Lenape, or the Dogon tribe in Africa. That link is there. Ancestors to the star system of Sirius. I know. So there's just, you know, there's lots to think about, you know, like what it really is at stake with this current election. As far as, you know, ET influence, you know, do they stand by and really just try to work with whoever gets elected into office? You know, back to Manly P. Hall's book, you know, The Secret Destiny of America, he basically said that America has been guided by secret societies, which everybody knows, at least from the conspiracy theory, you know, Illuminati thing. You know, everyone has that idea. Everyone's kind of aware. It has a general awareness of that. But only a few go as deep as to say that these secret societies are societies with secrets. You know, ultimately, when you get to the highest ranks, that's when you realize that they themselves are in league with extraterrestrial beings or interdimensional beings. And, you know, that's where we have the cosmic masters, you know, all these veiled terms that are easily digestible for the average profane person that's kind of looking and exploring, the average seeker who is looking and exploring. But is it really just that? Is it really just ascended souls? Or, you know, is it more? You know, and then the Stargate series, the ancients, you know, were trying to master ascension so they can have that higher level of consciousness. That's not to say humanity is not on the path towards higher levels of consciousness. It's just that, you know, what is that consciousness to be used for? Is it really just a mastery of life and death as we understand it in this life? Or is it so we can advance humanity to a point where we are a peace-loving race that can coexist and properly work with these ET races? So in the next segment, I'm going to spend some time contemplating the whole Hitler thing, the tall whites that we may be looking at, and what that really means. Alright, y'all, round two. So, in the last segment, I kind of went over some general ideas about ET races and international relations. Specifically, Iran speculation that the tall whites, many in the New Age and Western world, know as Talosians, or just, you know, the Aryan race if we're talking Hitler. The early Atlanteans, many attribute these beings to being the Lemurians of the past as well. You know, I ran speculation on how these tall whites are in league with Russia and the United States. That was published in 2014, so even if it was true then, there's no telling who is doing what, when, where, why, and how now. However, if we look at how the 2016 election went, is Trump really a puppet of Russia or Putin, or is he a puppet of the tall whites? That's definitely a question worth asking ourselves right now, you know, when I was watching these, you know, because IR is my thing. So, you know, I'm watching these episodes of Ancient Aliens, and I'm like, well, whose plant is Trump? Who planted him there? Because he is such an anomaly in American politics that there's no way he is a natural outgrowth of anything American. He can easily be seen as a natural outgrowth of, you know, his base. But when we really look at the big picture, he's definitely a plant, especially if we leave room for, you know, the influence from ET races and things like that. And, you know, just as I was letting the last segment upload, I was, you know, kind of jotting down some thoughts and some notes and mapping out some things, and actually would like to do more actual research and to try to put these pieces together without so much, you know, speculation. So there may be some independent research that you guys can help fund. I'm gonna think about if I want to do maybe like some kind of subscription based, or if I just want to crowdfund. It just came to me, so I'll keep you guys abreast, I'll keep you guys updated on that. But what I really want to contemplate this segment is Hitler, right? Everybody knows Hitler, the most charismatic leader on probably in the history of mankind, the man
almost successfully conquered the earth if it wasn't for us taking him out of Normandy. And I don't know what the hell Japan was on, but I'm just, can y'all not? Actually, after we vaporized Hiroshima and Nagasaki, y'all have not. Just, you know, can no one else do that, please? You know, we've promised to not nuke anybody after that. But I mean, you know, that don't mean we don't have lasers capable of the same level of vaporization of human beings. So let's just kind of keep the peace, right? We're the de facto peace. And that's another thing before I really get Naylor. Thinking about how the United States and how it may, you know, it's guided by this Eye of Providence and these ET beings. Like I said in the last segment, all these secret societies, especially the legit ones, at the very, very top and the very, very highest, at the very highest levels and the most inner of inner circles, they are in contact with extraterrestrial beings, or interdimensional beings. Extraterrestrial means they are in this reality, but from another galaxy or another planet or whatever. Interdimensional is literally a different dimension, maybe, you know, in a parallel universe, you know, multiverse theory. All right, we got Doctor Strange going on right now. And these secret societies and these, you know, psychic people and all of that, you know, we can tap into the interdimensional beings. We might be, you know, some people may be having experiences with just ETs right here in this consciousness on this plane. I think all these things really are in play at once, and that may be why we get the 2 to 12 guesstimate from astronauts and just theorists, because there may be interdimensional beings that they just don't realize are interdimensional beings in the multiverse theory. Or it's just safer to say ETs, because if we get into multiverse theory and the reality of that, and, you know, parallel realities and the fact that we could be living out an infinite number of lives right here in this moment in different realities within the multiverse, that's just a little too complex. But it makes for a good episode of any sci-fi series ever created. Anyway, back to Hitler. So the thing about Hitler, he was a Rosicrucian and a cultist. He had the Thule Society. He had everything going on, right? Most charismatic motherfucker ever. Almost conquered the earth until we had to step in and shut him down. And then, you know, Providence. You know, why are we the only ones able to shut that whole operation down? Okay, something to think about, right? So let's really think about Hitler's dream Aryan race, blonde hair, blue eye. When we think about the tall whites, like I said, and many, if most of these esoteric traditions and whatnot, especially in the Western world, we have these tall whites that are assumed to be either Atlantean, we think an Aquaman and all of these things, or Lemurian, or whatever, you know, if you're in the New Age community, any extraterrestrial, anything that humanity may be connected to must be these tall, white, blonde hair, blue eyed people. I'm thinking of the Atlantis legend documentary, like I think from the 80s, that was really a new agey, 70s or 80s or whatever, really new agey. But they all go back to these tall whites. The Great White Brotherhood, I believe, and you can read about it in, just join Armored for $15 to tell you about the Great White Brotherhood. I believe they also are attributed as being tall with blonde hair and blue eyes originally. And then it's also comprised of various human beings who mastered themselves and ascended to higher planes. So there's that. So when we think about Hitler and, you know, and then we think about just the reality of white people being this anomaly of humanity, you know, and them being the minority. Were white people themselves seated here among for all intents and purposes, a primitive and more naturally occurring humanoid descendant? There are some episodes of Ancient Aliens where they find that in the archaeological community there were different forms of humanoids that existed in the remote past. And, you know, when we really look at that, we can maybe surmise, you know, their point was that different extraterrestrial races seeded humanity. But if there really were different, I would say maybe races, if you will, of humanoids, or different subspecies of humanoids in the remote past, can that explain, you know, the different races here on Earth? And they all were seeded from these different extraterrestrial races or whatnot, because Earth is a universal anomaly. It is the perfect planet for seeding and creating new life. So maybe there were coalitions of different races that kind of, you know, seeded their own to see what the hell was going on. And they have been with us the entire time. But when we think about Hitler and the anomaly of white people themselves, let's just say, you know, everybody else who's not white, you know, because where we are right now, politically, geopolitically at that, is white people against everybody else, right? So let's just take that in the ancient astronaut theory thing, right? And Hitler's whole blonde hair, blue-eyed white folk thing, right? So say everyone not white is more naturally inclined to Earth, you know, naturally linked to Earth. And white folks, Caucasus, mountain folks, the descendants from there, were seeded to some degree by extraterrestrial beings or intraterrestrial beings, as in they came from the hollow earth, the inner earth, because, you know, that's it. You know, that's another thing. A lot of people say that people from the inner earth are these tall, blonde hair, blue eyed beings. They are the ones from outer space. They are also the ones from the inner earth. It's kind of reminding me of black people in the black consciousness movement, where they think they are everyone and everything all at once. And then we have, you know, these anomalies and whatnot. Now, I get it, you know, geology has come along and says everyone is from Africa, but is that an easy cop-out to not have to own that maybe different races were seeded by different alien races for different reasons, but the main central, you know, common denominator being that Earth is this anomaly in the universe, this perfect planet in the Goldilocks zone where, you know, it's perfect for creating new life. You know, I believe it's the Sumerian origin story where we have Enkil and Enlil. Enki and Enlil, the two brothers, and I believe it was Enki who was the geneticist that created mankind, and Enlil wanted to rule them as slaves, and Enki wanted them to be free to see how they, you know, advanced naturally, when Enlil just wanted to be a slave race to mine gold, right? But that's another thing. But, you know, back to, like I said, back to the tall whites, blonde hair, blue eyes, and Hitler. Like I said, everyone knows he was obsessed with occultism and stuff, which really just takes you deep into ET and interdimensional beings, right? It takes you deep into extraterrestrial life theory, ancient astronaut theory, and the reality of that, as well as interdimensional beings. And say white people really were seated here by these tall whites that are allegedly in league with the United States and Russia. It would actually make sense that there is this belief that the white race is supreme because it was seeded by an advanced extraterrestrial, you know, or intraterrestrial race of beings, right? They were seeded by these tall whites. Blonde hair, blue eyes, whether it's believed they're believed to be from the inner earth, the hollow earth, or out there somewhere in the universe. And for Hitler, and the thing is, Hitler was a failed artist. He was bitter, failed artist, hated, you know, his family, where he came from, who he was. He was, you know, the Germany lost World War I. He's bitter about that. So, you know, he was hell-bent on restoring the legitimacy of Germany itself, as well as, you know, himself, giving himself some self-aggrandizement and purpose in life and some power and position. And he left one hell of a legacy, even if he lost. You know, we're still talking about him, right? This whole segment is dedicated to him and this theory of this blonde hair, blue-eyed Aryan race. So maybe, let's just say, in all his occult dealings, he actually made contact with his own, you know, made his own contact with these tall whites, you know, the blonde hair, blue eyed ones that, you know. And if you really look at the New Age community, it's a bunch of white folks, right? So no matter where in the universe they come from, these blonde hair, blue eyed people, right? Well, that was rude. Hold on. I got stuff going on in the background, guys. I've got this housewarming. I've been harassed for a minute. So yeah, let's take that, right? I don't know, you know, maybe he really had his own encounter with these beings. And he maybe had, or someone in his groups, you know, had, it was such an impression that he really believed that anyone who looked like those particular people must be of those people, must be like those people, must be this noble, Aryan, superior super race, right? And that's where you get, like, this idea from. And it's continually perpetuated throughout, you know, in Hollywood. You know, whether it's Captain America being so great. Like I said, Aquaman and their Atlanteans, blonde hair, blue eye. Were the Atlanteans really the blonde hair, blue eyed ones? You know, I mean, the only, I guess, aside from the Greys, right? The blonde hair, blue eyed, tall whites, often, you know, associated with the great world, these are the only ones who can be described. These are the only extra or intraterrestrial beings that can be physically described, you know. Nobody really wants to be associated with the Greys or these other beings that kind of resemble Akhenaten and whatnot, that, you know, they're kind of being able to get renderings from based on skull findings and Africa and the Middle East and all that. You know, it's the only, and the thing is, as far as, you know, white supremacy, that's, you know, the only description that resonates with the white race, with white folks, you know what I mean? And it gives them some kind of purpose or feeling like they are better or feeling like they are divine or something like that. You know, it actually just makes a lot of sense. Does that mean that everyone who is not white is actually degenerate? I don't think so. I think it just means that we're different. Like, if we're all seeded by different extraterrestrial races, right? Let's just say each race, nationality or whatever, you know, aside from the conquests and stuff of the colonial era. Let's just say that, you know, our origins, you know, we really do, like, the indigenous peoples believe that, you know, we were seeded by some extraterrestrial race, right? And, you know, each culture or whatever, or nationality or race really was seeded by a different race of beings or species somewhat, right? That it all make, it doesn't necessarily mean that one is better than the other. It just means that we're different. It also means that there's different levels of advancement. There's also the reality of different kinds of technology, different levels of technological advancement within each race. And that may be why, you know, some of these great advancements and leaps tend to come to white folks, no matter what country they're from. But then a lot of times these illuminated ideas come to black folks, and their ideas are commandeered by the whites, you know? And then we have the reality that if we were seeded, they, you know, obviously were some kind of science experiment for them, you know, those beyond, from the beyond. So they're watching us develop naturally as different races, and then, you know, we all have to come together as one. But then there's the reality that, you know, we all have our own, you know, genetic, you know, link. But then it's like, how much of that is actually real if we're trying to mask the fact that we are linked to extraterrestrial and or higher different beings? You know what I mean? Why are some people more quote-unquote awake or spiritually gifted than others? Is it just, you know, is it really their genes? Is it really, like, you know, I'm naturally gifted, while many people, especially white people, you know, they're trying to read their way into different portals of reality and high levels of consciousness. You know, you have to be vegan so you can see the future, and I'm diabetic, and I've been seeing the future since I was a child. So, you know, what makes me special or different, you know? And it's probably my genetic makeup. makeup, and that goes back to, you know, the various mixings of my genes. A lot of it probably from the Native American aspect of my being, and that connection to ETs, you know, and whatever extraterrestrial race that my tribe is linked to. You know, so when we think about, you know, the Hitler question and what he was trying to do or create, I mean, it may just be that the tall whites are specifically an advanced race, so advanced that it is, you know, they may have seeded their own people, their own folks, and that's why they, you know, were able to conquer and do whatever they wanted to do, because they were more advanced, or they were seeded by a more advanced race. They, in their primitive ego mind, believe that they are better than every other race on the planet. Which kind of goes back to, you know, what I was saying in the first segment. You know, if we have access to being able to advance humanity technologically by interacting with and liaising with and having diplomatic relations with these ETs, why is it so hard for us to just kind of come together right now and get over it so we can actually move forward as a race? But the thing is, if we're all seeded by different races and all influenced by different races, well, then that's going to be inherently rife with conflict, because there's going to be conflicts of interest, right? Which race has probably the most advanced technology to share? It may be the tall whites. That's why they're so involved in everything. That's why everyone's talking about them all the time, because maybe they did, you know, make the farthest, you know, and most relevant progress technologically that can help and or hurt humanity. And if they are their own, you know, seeding, you know, the origins, original seeders of white people in this world, well, then that whole link just makes sense. Doesn't mean that the state of the world where it is right. No, as we see with anti-colonialism and basically just rebelling against ruling of the white race, we see whether it's, you know, it's like, it just feels like a rebalancing of human consciousness. Like, there are different races and influences of beings on this earth, whether they just be human or, you know, interdimensional or extraterrestrial, intraterrestrial. You know, these influences are here, and they, like they're here, you know? And we can either, like, get along and move humanity forward and all cooperate at all levels of consciousness and reality, or we can keep going on with business as usual. And obviously, doing it Hitler's way, with being so attached to these super advanced tall whites, that we can only narrow humanity itself down to people who are blonde-haired, blue-eyed, which Hitler was not. Then we'll be good enough to be in league with, you know, the ETs or whatever. You know, that may have been one, you know, train of thought for him or during his time. But the reality is, there's a greater reality. And, you know, when we get into, like, the episodes of Ancient Aliens, we're talking about the crop circles and the messages warning, you know, do not fall for the deceivers. Or the messages or whatever of the deceivers. Who are the deceivers? And from an ET perspective, that's literally the messages of the New Testament and the Bible. You know, the mentioning of the false prophets, the synagogue of Satan, and how humanity will be deceived. And then we have these ETs warning us through crop circles, do not fall for the antics of the deceivers. Well, okay, we put it in ancient astronaut, you know, we frame it in ancient astronaut theory. Well, which race is still the deceivers? Who's trying to deceive us? And what will that deception lead to? Is it really just a one world government? I mean, are the tall whites the deceivers looking to just, you know, perpetuate whiteness throughout the universe, and they are going to try to rule over us all, when really it should be all of these races coming together for this anomalous creation known as humanity on Earth and humankind, and all of these seedings coming together to show that the different races, the message of Aquaman, which was that the, you know, the people of the land and the sea are one, that these different people, these different races can all coexist. And there doesn't have to be war or violence, but we can continue to advance and tap into infinite universal power without having to destroy ourselves and or one another. You know, is that really the goal? And then these tall whites that Hitler has such an affinity for are really, they believe that they are just better than everyone and everything in the galaxy, in the universe, and that it is their place to rule. And so now they're trying to be in league with the two, you know, mortal enemies, you know, of the world. The West and the East, the United States and Russia. And trying to bring them together for their own, you know, are the tall whites that the New Agers basically worship in their own way or want so badly to be linked to. Is it possible that they are the deceivers and every other race seated, that seated, you know, the other races on Earth, you know, are just like, nah, we're good. We don't want that. We don't need that. We need cooperation. This is the opportunity of a universal lifetime. We've already blew up Tiamat with our war of the past. Let's try again in a way that actually brings cooperation, galactic cooperation, and to see what we can create. Because if we already have these conflicts within ourselves, what else is out there in the universe that may be more of a threat? And what's interesting about Stargate Universe was that there was this drone fleet programmed to destroy and wipe out any technology that was different from its own. And basically the show ended with that drone fleet being seeded by some other, you know, race of beings. And there was nowhere for the ship, the Destiny, to go. There was nowhere for the people on board the Destiny to go. They had to skip an entire galaxy because that one galaxy was basically protected by a malevolent race that wanted nothing else to exist but its own, right? So if we have, say there really are those kinds of threats in the universe, would it not be advantageous for as many, just intergalactic beings or just within this galaxy? You know what I mean? Like, I guess interplanetary beings and ET races, would it not be advantageous for as many of us as possible to come together and develop technology that can overcome such an impossible threat within the universe? I think so. You know, and maybe my imagination is just running really, really wild right now. But the thing is, there are way too many similarities between a science fiction television show and a long-running docuseries. There are way too many similarities between these two. And we have to realize that day by day, year by year, like I said, in April of this year, there was another level of disclosure with documents being revealed about UFOs and ETs. So it's like we're being gradually assimilated to accept the fact that we are not alone. And not just that we're not alone in the universe, but that they're already here. They've been with us the entire time. And they may or may not be the reason why global politics is what it is. You know, how did the United States become the de facto hegemon and remain that? Because from a foreign policy analyst perspective, from an IR theorist perspective, it was a de facto win by the inherent collapse of the USSR. The United States was just as surprised as anyone else on Earth to become the de facto hegemon. The reality is, the United States has been poised to basically rule and guide and lead humanity for decades, but we always had these very limited-minded, very unimaginative presidents or government officials that did not have the foresight or the wherewithal or the strategic acumen to effectively, like, for example, Cuba. that seat was wide open, and Eisenhower didn't do anything about it, and then we ended up with Fidel Castro, you know what I mean? It's like, how do these inherent collapses that position the U.S. to be the top dog just happen? I mean, to the point where we were forced into a position that we really were not ready for, which is why the world is in, you know, shambles now, because America really wasn't... The founding of America, we wanted to just do what the hell we wanted to do and be a sanctuary for anyone else on Earth who wanted to come here and do their own thing. We weren't really looking to rule the world, but these interdimensional or extraterrestrial beings that may and more than likely have had some kind of intervention, divine intervention or whatever it is in the progress of America and its positioning in the world has led to an international order that was basically laid out by U.S. presidents, starting with Woodrow Wilson in his League of Nations, picked up by Roosevelt after World War II. And codified in the UN Charter, which established the United Nations, and then we got the WTO and all that going on, and that's where we are today. It all began in the minds of American presidents and was solidified with an inherent implosion of the USSR. And we don't really know what to do with that. We're just thrown in the fire and given this throne. And some of us, mainly on the right, want to defend that by any means necessary because we see some hand of God in that. Whether it's an abstract God we don't understand or very real ETs that want, you know, their experiment to work. To be the best one and the top dog. How do these things really happen? We can say, you know, psychology, constructivist, you know, social movements, but like all of these moving parts that these, you know, academics and these elites try to discuss to make themselves sound more intelligent to one another, there may be more to the story. And, you know, like I said in that foreign policy article, discredited it because basically it just says that humans are not the top dogs. And if ETs are really running the show, all of IR theory is a bunch of bullshit because it's rooted in what? I mean, at best, it would have to adapt to the reality that there are influences beyond, you know, humanity and, you know, arrogance and egos. You know, and like I said, some of this stuff sounds really far-fetched, but some of it really kind of makes sense. Like, how does it just implode? How do these societies implode just enough to let America remain on top? I mean, even with Trump. And we even see it now with China. China is trying hard to be the hegemon without become the hegemon without really becoming the hegemon. Right? The next superpower without really being the next superpower. They're trying to, you know, double speak, if you will. And yet, they are failing left and right, from COVID to the, what some people are speculating, the Belt and Road Project being an utter failure. You know, how is it that even with the setbacks Trump has obviously given us, we are still going to be top dog to a degree? And what does that mean policy wise because, you know, we think we're making policy, but if we actually have extraterrestrial influences, ET influences, people downloading information into the top advisor or the president himself or whoever, you know, not just in the United States but around the world, you know, like what does the future really look like? You know, and like, there are so many events in history that are not entirely predictable. And if you watch a person's patterns or even a country's patterns, you can kind of predict where it's going to go. We've had a lot of anomalous moments where it's just like, hey, didn't expect that. I don't really think it's as easy as saying, oh, they just changed their mind. They just, you know, maybe we don't know everything. And that's true. We don't know everything. Maybe we don't know everything. But to what degree or what level?
Then, you know, we have Trump and his thing of the Space Force and really pushing this. But it's like a subtle either assimilation of consciousness to us interacting with space and space beings. You know, you got the private sector trying to get us to Mars. Thanks, Elon Musk. And this and that and the other. Then we got, you know, these soft, like it's a gradual progress towards the official disclosure, right? And I don't think the official disclosure is going to look the way that the MUFON or UFO or New Age community wants it to look. I don't think it's going to be that official, because we're not going to be boarded to need it to be that official. It's probably going to be very gradual, and it's probably going to be that they reveal themselves in different ways, you know? I mean, they might, you know, who knows? Because if there are a lot of humanoid races, it's very easy to just insert themselves into like a panel or something, or what have you. I don't know what that's gonna look like. But what I do know is, if international relations is really more tied to intergalactic relations, that puts everything on its head, but it also puts everything into place. You know, this sudden movement towards, you know, spirituality, elevating human consciousness, this large push towards, you know, clean energy and climate change resolutions and the sustainable development goals being achieved by 2030. This really big push that we say is a liberal push, but it might just be the push towards peace so we can gain access to these more advanced technologies that governments want their hands on. You know what I mean? So get people more into religion and spirituality, studying the gods, and get them more acclimated with the idea that maybe these gods were just extraterrestrial and or interdimensional beings. And putting all of that together, you know, we have groups like Amok working towards putting mysticism more on a legitimate footing with the scientific community, so we can actually look at, you know, the development of consciousness and psychic talents and gifts and powers and things like that, and basically advancing humanity to where our ET counterparts feel comfortable not only revealing themselves, but also working alongside humanity in a more open manner. Right? Like, there really is this push, and it looks like just some liberal, you know, feel good, fuzzy, warm and fuzzy push. But, you know, all the pieces come together to really just kind of chart the course for human advancement and, you know, the return or rise of Atlantis that, you know, people write about, or just the permanent advancement and growth of human capacity without us being, you know, reset like we were in the days of Noah. So shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Those are kind of my musings for right now. I will get back to you guys either in a couple days or in a week or whenever. Ideally, I think I want to get back to doing a daily podcast like I used to. We'll see what life has in store for me, or my own ET guides that I'm not aware of. Whatever it is, we'll see how it goes. Nice chat with y'all. Cheers.